Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Light the candle, Tiger!
Hello there, thank you very much for joining us on this week's Racing Post Golf Postcast. Bruce Mellington, Steve Palmer and Paddy Powers, Ian McLaughlin, looking ahead to two great tournaments this week. We've got the Ned Bank down at Sun City in South Africa, and then the US Tour moves down to the beautiful Riviera Maya in Mexico for the Maya Coba Golf Classic. Hopefully the lads have got all the winners, all the good tips, all the best bets for us. First up though, let's look back at last weekend. And basically, lads, I can hear the sound of the ball hitting the crossbar. We came close, didn't we, Steve?
Yeah, it was a heartbreaking Sunday. I mean, I was due one of them, going for three winners in a row, and was pretty confident of getting it when Hao Tongli went into the final round three shots ahead. Had a little wobbly front nine, but got level again with Rose. And I fancied Lee going into the playoff because Rose had the putt to win on the 72nd hole. Very poor putt that slid right, and I thought that gave Lee the edge going into the playoff. Lee was swinging great by the finish. Rose was being a bit defensive. He was taking 3 wood off the tee at 18, laying back a long way. But it all went wrong on the first extra hole. On the green of the first extra hole. Did you watch it, Bruce?
To be honest, I had to go out at that point. I'd watched pretty much remarkable. The whole thing, but I had to go. Did he miss a tiddler?
Well, he suddenly seemed to think he was playing in the Shot Clock Masters. I mean, he just started racing around the green like Linford Christie in the first extra hole. He had a putt to win the tournament, smashed his putt pass. It was quite a very makeable putt, a nice slight right to left, smashed the putt pass, sprinted up to knock in his return putt, and it never touched the hole. I mean, it was incredible surrender. Yeah,
what noise sort of did you make when that return putt missed?
Total silence, walked from lounge to kitchen, head-butted the worktop a couple of times. Yeah, it was incredible mental breakdown from a player who, with his long game, was the complete opposite. I mean, the drives he was hitting on the 18th hole in regulation play and then in the playoff were perfect, absolutely perfect drives. But on the greens, he had too much adrenaline and he was just charging around. It was back-to-back three putts at the 72nd hole and the 73rd hole to lose the playoff.
So, how much did that cost you, that playoff?
Well, once I'd done all my sums on Sunday night, it was a 23 grand swing. I was either going to win 10 grand if Lee won or lose 13 if he didn't. So, yeah.
13
I was,
grand? What? So did you keep topping up?
Yeah, I had a lot of in-running action as well. I need to learn not to...
That topping up, Steve. I mean, I noticed in your column this week that when you won 70 grand, which was absolutely fantastic, but I noticed you were backing Champ at 1.46. You already had him to win your absolute fortunes. Why are you doing that? Ian, speak to Steve, will you?
I get a little too bullish sometimes in running. I basically, once the tournament started, I consider there's only... sort of four possible winners of that Turkish Airlines Open.
What would Kevin Pullin tell you? In any event, any outcome is possible, all right?
Yeah, well, Kevin Pullin gives good life advice. I mean, it's not just betting. It's the worst thing that can happen is the worst thing that can happen. I often have that ringing in my ear. But, yeah, I've just a little bit of overconfidence last week. I thought I couldn't fail.
We're always at our most dangerous when we've backed a winner, aren't we, Steve?
We are, but I don't think we got it wrong. I think we backed the right players beforehand. I mean, you can't tell me Justin Rose was value at 4-1. I don't think the result changes that fact. I don't think he was value price at 4-1.
It's just backing him, Steve. Surely.
I know. I sometimes look. It's like an express, like a steam train. I just keep shoveling coal on. I have learnt lessons from this. In running, I need to just let the train go at its natural speed and not put any more coal on.
I love that. It's a very positive thought. And Ian, I mean, it was traumatic as well for you because Lee was your main tip for that tournament, wasn't he?
He wasn't. He was the week before.
Oh, sorry.
My main tip was frustrating as it was Peters, and he shot 4 over in the first day, managed to go 14 under par for his next 3 rounds, miss out in the places.
Is there summing up with him between the ears, do you think? Because, I mean, he'll play 54 holes like the king of golf, and then he'll just let you down elsewhere, won't he? What do we do with him?
I was unsure of the performance, really. He was flawless the Friday. He shot 62, and he was excellent Saturday, Sunday. I think it's just, as you said, 54 holes. He just needs to put 72 holes together. Like, we touted him up for the Masters his first time there, and he kind of had the grit and the determination to kind of stick around when things weren't going well, and he finished fourth. And, you know, I go, right, that's a turning point for him now. He can really kick on and become a world star, top 10 player in the world, multiple time winner every season. But just doesn't seem to be happening. He just seems a little bit petulant at the moment and a little bit down himself when things don't go his way. So I think he just needs to get the mental attitude up, because he's a supremely talented player.
Mm. So Ian, the European...
I was just going to say, we mustn't have any regrets, because Thomas Peters clearly well suited to that call. Shot 62 there, the best round anyone got. We mustn't have any regrets. We mustn't have any regrets about not backing Rose at 4-1, because, you know, he did his best to blow that. He squandered a couple of great winning chances in the FedEx Cup playoffs. And did you see that slice drive early in the back nine that hit the fella on the foot? You know, the commentators massively underplayed that. Rose has sliced a drive, he's heading for the bushes, he's heading to a double bogey territory, hits this complete mug on the foot. I was so angry with him. He's walking around in bare feet, obviously. That's just out there. He had nothing on his feet. He's obviously had a few tinctures. And it didn't get out of the way of the ball. It hit him on the foot, and then it went into the bunker, which was a much easier shot than the bushes, obviously. So
it's always the way, isn't it, Steve? When you want it to disappear into the bushes, it hits someone. And when you want some spectator to knock it back into play, they skillfully miss it at the last
second. Absolutely. There's nothing worse than losing through a bad break like that. You know, I don't mind losing fair and square, but when something like that happens, it really infuriates
That's
me.
That's golf for you. Now, Ian, what I want to know from you is, going into that playoff, you've got the tournament favourite Justin Rose against Steve's tip, Lee. Who was the best result in the end? I guess it's got to be Lee, isn't it? Because people just get so beguiled by favourites, don't they?
They do. Pre-tournament, it would have been the opposite way. Lee would have been a decent loser for us, given Steve had put him up. And Rose, obviously, as we said, wasn't great value before 4-1. I think punters kind of believed that. But the more the tournament went on, Rose obviously up there, people kind of forget. The pre-tournament expectation goes, well, there's Justin Rose, the best player in the field, the favourite, leading the tournament. So then the in-running bets start coming through, and it was the same in the playoff on 18, first time round. It was just money for Rose. I think it was 8-11. We had 11-10 Lee. And then even when he was conservative hitting three wood, and the commentators were saying Lee's got 60 yards on him here, they were just still shoveling in on top of Rose. I think I pushed him out to maybe pick him at that stage when I saw there was 60-yard difference between him off the tee shot. So, yeah, once the favourite gets in position to kind of win, and especially when it's a matchup, pre-tournament expectations kind of go out the window, and they just kind of follow in the popular player.
And was that a bad tournament for you guys then?
Wasn't really that bad. Steve's four selections were kind of big liabilities at the start of the week, and the more the in-running kind of book kind of evened itself out. So Rose was a slight winner for us in the end. He was a big winner at the start of the week, but the in-running book wouldn't have looked the best.
Okay, and let's look at the Shriners, which Bryson DeChambeau won. Was that a bad result, Ian?
That was actually a good result. You would have thought five in Europe, second five in the US, you're going to have a poor week. But looking at the figures on Monday, it was a decent week overall. Most popular at the top of the market would have been Fowler. So when he started kind of coming, he didn't really get that close to winning. He was a fast finishing fourth, but he was the most popular at the head of the market. But DeChambeau was a decent result for us.
Okay, and chaps, give me one thing you took out of the Shriners. Steve, you got it first.
I was just having a thought while you were yapping away there. I was just thinking, if Paddy Power ever start opening shops in China, then they could get a very lopsided book in tournaments where Lee's playing. You know, with the population of China lumping on Hao Tong Lee. I mean, interesting thought. Yeah. Or maybe not. Maybe not. I'll
yapping away. I feel completely
sorry. Was that disrespectful?
No.
I didn't mean yapping away. I meant to say debating. Debating.
Okay, fine. So, Steve, what was your takeout from the Shriners?
My takeout? Well, I had two players to take out from the Shriners. The first, obviously, Bryson DeChambeau. He's just so consistent now. I mean, his rounds last week, 66, 66, 65, 66. I mean, it was a clinical tournament golf from DeChambeau. And, he's clearly a serious golfer, one of the best in the world, and will be for a long time. And Joachim Niemann. I know Ian's a big fan of Joachim Niemann. I mean, he finished 10th last week with a nice cold putter. I think Niemann will make his breakthrough very soon.
Okay, and Ian, any takeouts from the Shriners for you?
Yeah, I'll mention them later on, but Wacky Niemann was a massive takeout of the tournament last week, yeah.
Okay, my takeout from last week was that Sam Horsfield needs to get going. I literally had to switch over the channel because I thought the picture had frozen. He was he stood over a shot for 27 seconds. He literally stood motionless with his club by the ball and didn't do anything. I mean, what is that about?
They timed one at 35 seconds, didn't they? They timed one at 35 seconds was his record last week. He's got to get over that. It's not going to help him, is he? Because you sort of stiffen up when you're over a shot like that.
Well, what are you thinking? Like what is he thinking about during those 35 seconds?
He's just obviously it's tension in it. I mean, Sergio Garcia, if you remember rightly, a few years back, he had the long game
grips,
didn't
he? The grip years.
Yeah, the old waggle. He couldn't pull the trigger, and Horsfield needs to do something about that, because after he did have those long pauses, he rubbish sort of sliced to the right on a lot of occasions. It stiffens you up. There's no need for it. It's not going to help him.
Absolutely not. Okay, frustrating week last week. Let's hope for riches and glory this week. We will look at the Nedbank next.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Be the right club today.
Welcome back. We are previewing the Nedbank Challenge down at Sun City, the Gary Player Country Club. And Steve, this tournament used to be about 8 players, didn't it? It was all a bit of a jolly up, wasn't it? But it's changed now. Yeah. It's grown out of all proportion, hasn't it?
Yeah, the field size has increased through the years. And we've got 72 going to post. Is that right, Ian?
Do you remember, it used to be about a dozen, didn't it?
Yeah. It used to be the elite playing for the biggest check in golf. But now, obviously, this is not the biggest check in golf. FedEx Cup has dwarfed it, but
I hope Mark McNulty still gets an invite. It was always in it, wasn't he, Mark McNulty?
Yeah. I think he's struggling to get around these days. I mean, it's a very long course, isn't it? It's almost 8,000 yards, but we've got a bit of altitude that helps. Classic ball strikers test. Always demands solid, strong driving, and the weather is nearly always scorchio. You've got baking hot conditions, no wind, and temperatures this week threatening 100°F.
Okay, a lovely setup from Steve. Let's get the betting from Ian, and then we'll find out who the boys fancy.
7 places this week in the Nedbank Challenge. Rory McIlroy and Sergio Garcia ahead are betting at 15-2. Louis Oosthuizen next in at 14-1. Brandon Gray 16-1. Hao Tong Lee 16-1. Lucas Bjerregaard 20-1. Shane Lowry 20-1. And 25-1 bar.
How many selections have you got in total, Ian?
I have 2.
2. Let's have the first one then.
Main one is Juice Loughton. 4 appearances at Sun City, finishes of 16th, 24th, 14th, 12th. Had 5 months off after Wentworth in May, getting over a wrist injury. Since then, has put up 2 very good showings since his return. 11th of Valderrama, was followed by a 23rd place finish in Turkey last week. Had a very poor week in the greens, but looking back through the stats of the week, he ranked 6th in driving accuracy and 7th in greens in regulation. 2 key stats need to play well at Sun City. Loughton is obviously striking the ball great. Historically, he's a very good putter, so I wouldn't have too many concerns. He's very aggressive on the greens. He fires at the hole. I like his style of putting. I think if he returns to this average on the greens, I think he continues his comeback this week with a very strong showing around 33-1.
Okay, and Steve, you've dipped into the barrel and pulled out an old favourite for your main tip, haven't you?
Yeah, he served me well through the years. Martin Kaymer is the number one selection for the Nedbank. This is a great chance to sort of stabilise a career that's been wobbling a little bit over the last few years. I mean, he's obviously a former world number one. He's down to 150th in the world rankings at the moment. But been looking at a lot of interviews with Kaymer recently, and he feels a serious resurgence is imminent. He's done a lot of work on his game last few years. He actually said he's a better player now than he was when he was world number one in 2011. I mean, it's a staggering thing to say, but self-belief is there. If he thinks it, that's fine. And last week's Turkish Airlines Open, a source of great encouragement. I mean, 4 really solid rounds, finished 5th, dropped only 2 shots the whole week. His long game is clearly in tremendous shape. And he goes to a course which is a stiff tee to green assignment. He's hitting his ball superbly. He's course proven. Nedbank champion in 2012. He finished 5th last year, despite having gone almost 9 months without a top 10 finish. So, Kaymer's hitting his ball great. Loves this track.
Okay. And Ian, who's your other selection?
Next best is Danny Willett. Also making a comeback this season. Had been in the golfing doldrums for the past 2 years. Probably think the pressures of and commitments of being a Masters champion obviously being too much for him. He joined forces with Sean Foley, Tiger Woods' old coach, at the end of last summer, and his swing looks to be coming back to its best. Highlights of his summer were 8th at the Italian Open, at 6th at the Irish Open. Most recently, his last 2 efforts have been encouraging. 23rd in the CJ Cup was followed by a 7th place finish in Turkey last week. He's coming to one of his favourite courses on the European Tour in Sun City. Has had 3 appearances with form figures of 1, 4, 11. Like Loughton, I think he continues his comeback this week with a very strong showing, also at 33-1.
Okay, and Steve, who else have you got to back Kaymer up with?
Next best is Louis Oosthuizen. Oosthuizen is a course winner. He won the 2007 Dimension Data Pro-Am on this track. He's never won the Nedbank. He'd dearly love to do so. I mean, Oosthuizen is a very carefree character. Motivation can often be an issue for him, but The carrot of winning what is known as Africa's Major is a great one for him. Should guarantee full focus. His Nedbank form figures are 12, 4, 14, 7, 11, 9, 8. So he's got four top 10s in the bank. Usually pretty rusty at this time of the year. He likes to take a lot of time off, but he's played three tournaments in October. He's been grooving in a new set of irons. Finished fifth in the Sim Classic a little while ago. So I think he'll ping the lids this time.
Can I just quickly just say with Ustase, and I was, yeah. Do you like Carl Pilkington, Steve?
Yeah, I've seen a bit of him.
I was watching him last night. He was in Las Vegas, and he was doing this thing where apparently people dress up as famous people and get their pictures taken with tourists, and they can make about 100 quid a night. And he chose to dress up as Elton John. But he looked exactly like Louis Oosthuizen. I couldn't get it out of my mind. I was hoping someone said, oh, wow, Louis Oosthuizen, can I have a picture taken with you? But anyway, sorry, that's not going to help anyone back winners, but it's just a bit of a coincidence.
It is a coincidence, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what might help people back winners. Four of Oosthuizen's last six European Tour victories have come in South Africa, so he gets inspired by home comforts. And I've got two more. I've got four against the field this week. Danny Willett, as mentioned by Ian McLaughlin, he's had a couple of barren years, you know, a lot of shoulder injuries. Wife gave birth to two sons. He's had a lot to deal with, but he's clearly getting back to his best now. He's had a couple of positive results. Seventh last week. Sean Foley has got him swinging nicely again. And the final selection is Lee John Westwood, OBE, otherwise known as the Worksop Wonder. The Worksop Wonder, I mean, we loved the Worksop Wonder in 2010 and 2011. We were on him for the Nedbank in those years. Absolutely dominated the Nedbank in 2010 and 2011. 8-shot victory followed by a 2-shot victory. 32 under par for those 144 holes. Also won the 2000 Dimension Data Pro-Am by 5 shots at this venue. Sixth in the Nedbank last year. So, that, yeah, he's got some current form in the book as well. You're massively course-proven is Lee John Westwood, which is understandable given how his success has always been based on consistent ball strike. And this is a ball striker's track. Signs of life in the last 4 months. Westwood's had a lot to deal with for a long time. He had a divorce from his wife. He had a divorce from his manager. But all that seems to be behind him. He seems happy again. He's starting to play well again. Fifth place in the Italian Open in June. Playoff defeat in the Maiden Denmark. Fifth in the Andalusia Masters last month. So I think Westwood might have one or two tournament wins left in the tank.
Lovely. Okay, there's two players at the top of the market, Rory and Sergio. Ian, you talk about Rory and then Steve can talk about Sergio. What do you think Rory will do this week, Ian?
We're looking to take Rory on this week. Obviously, I was very keen on him in the HSBC and he just showed no sort of form. He was just terrible, really. He's coming to this. He hasn't got the worst record around Sun City, but end of season, where's his mental game going to be? Is he really going to be up for this? Happy to take him on at the prices.
Okay, and Steve, Sergio?
Sergio should be favourite, I think, but Sergio should be slight favourite because McIlroy, he's played Sun City once, but he didn't finish. He's in last place. The reason I remember this tournament so well, and you might do too, Bruce, we backed McIlroy to finish last that week at 28-1, I think, and Paddy Power paid out even though he withdrew at the... at the halfway stage.
So that's nice. Paddy Power. I don't remember that, but good lads.
Yeah, 2009. So he's only played there once, played poorly, and he seems to me a bit disinterested. The WGC HSBC champions, he played really badly, hacked his way around, but he did it with a smile on his face, and that would worry me for McIlroy fans. He seemed to be happy with the mediocrity in China, and I can't see him being particularly enthused by this one. But Garcia's a two-time champion. I think he should have been slight favourite, perhaps a point ahead of Oosthuizen and then McIlroy third in the bet.
Could we maybe look at a Garcia bet and a 72-hole match bet with Rory as being a bit of
yes,
value?
Yeah,
if you could.
Yeah, I think you could. Yeah.
Okay, jolly good. Anything else? Any derivatives, matches, tops in?
No, happy enough. If I could get a Sergio to beat Rory turn match, but I'd be getting involved in that for sure, yeah.
You should be able to, shouldn't you? I'm sure one of your
rivals
will
be doing
that. Yeah,
absolutely. Two favourites. Of course, yeah, I would have thought so. I'll okay. Have a scan through later on.
Lovely stuff. Steve, anything else from you on the Nedbank, or are we all done?
No, just four big outright bets.
Okay, let's go to Mexico.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Oh, baby.
Welcome back. Bruce Millington, Steve Palmer and Ian McLaughlin of Paddy Power are looking ahead to the Mayakoba Classic down on the Riviera Maya in Mexico, a resort course. And Ricky Fowler, I believe, heads the market, does he, Ian?
Yes, he does. 8 places this week in the Mayakoba. As you mentioned, Ricky's there at 8-1. Tony Finau at 12-1. Jordan Spieth at 14-1. Gary Woodland 18-1. Emiliano Grillo 18-1. Aaron Rise 22-1. And 25-1 Barr.
And Ian, if you look at recent winners of this, I mean, it's quite a new tournament and it hasn't really been, you know, a major stopping off point for some of the world's elite. The likes of Patton Kizzire, Pat Perez, Charlie Hoffman, Harris English, John Haar have all won it. But we've got a decent field this year looking at the names, haven't we? I wonder, by the way, if Charlie Hoffman led after the first round. That would be ironic, wouldn't it? The one time he wins, he didn't lead after the first round. But we've got a decent field here, haven't we, Ian?
Yeah, strong field. We're getting spoiled now at this end of the season. Like last week at the Shriners, it was an excellent field. I think Fowler, Spieth, DeChambeau, Finau all showed up, and they're showing up again this week. Mm. And you've got that lace with a lot of young stars too. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this tournament. Actually, it's usually an end of season throwaway, but no, looking forward to it.
And who's your main tip?
Main tip, we're going in the game with Joaquin Niemann. Finished 10th last week at the Shriners, struck the ball brilliantly all week, including a hole-in-one in the third round. He ranked in the top 5 in strokes gained tee to green for a week. What held him back, as Steve mentioned at the start of the show, was a nice cold putter. He ranked 95th in the field for putting for the week. Now, to finish 10th while being the bottom 25% in the putting stats show how well his tee to green game is at present. He is close to the same price he was last week when there are actually doubts about his overall form. Making his debut at the Mayakoba, not a massive concern to me. His rookie season, the PGA Tour last year, he had high finishes at courses like Colonial and Muirfield Village. As an amateur, he had 2 wins in Mexico in 2017 and was the Latin America amateur champ in 2018. He'll have no issues with conditions this week. We missed out on the 12-1 payout by a shot last week with the places. I think we get the full 40-1 payout this week.
Lovely. Okay, this is a really interesting course. I remember looking at it last year. One of the holes, I think, in the fairway, basically about sort of 3 yards off the green, there's people sunbathing, Steve, isn't it? It's a spectacular course, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a course of contrast. I mean, it's a short, tight, fiddly test. And if you hit wild shots here, you're in big trouble. I mean, all sorts of things waiting for you either side of the fairway. You've got heavy rough for starters, tropical jungle, mangroves and
beaches.
Well,
I think there's the odd asp floating around in there as well. A serpent
waiting to bite.
Now, Steve, if you ever do have another big win, which I hope you will, you must take Nicola and the kids across to this place. You'd absolutely love it. Go and play it. Right? Oh, it's brilliant.
I shall.
So then...
Well, let's hope the big wins this week.
Well, yeah. So if the question is who will win, what is the answer, Steve?
No! Oh, you cheeky monkey. The answer is answer. I'm really excited about this tournament because I think the Mexicans are going to get the winner they want. Abraham Answer is a Mexican player that is slowly but surely becoming world class. I mean, he's a really feisty character. I think he's going to be inspired by the home support rather than burdened by it. And confidence is at an all-time high now. He's really established himself on the US Tour over the last 4 months. He was 4th in the Quicken Loans National, 5th in the Canadian Open, 7th in the Dell Technologies Championship, 5th in the Sim Classic and 4th in the Shriners Open on Sunday last week. So... you know, he's in fantastic red-hot form. He's broken into the world's top 100, and he's perfectly suited to this track. He's very accurate, and he's putting well too, so it's a perfect combination. Last year, he was in miserable form prior to this event. He'd been playing every week and playing poorly. He was world number 287, nervous US Tour rookie, yet he still finished 9th. I think that just shows how well suited he is to this course. Much more self-belief 12 months later. So, yeah, if you ask me... if you ask me why can't he win, I can't answer that question.
Very good. I like that one. Ian, how many other selections have you got?
I have 2 more. 1 next best and an outsider. I'll work through them there. Next best is JJ Spaun. Having a very solid start to the new PGA Tour season, was 10th in the CJ Cup, was followed by 15th last week at the Shriners. I was looking through the early stats for the year. Spaun currently ranks 5th in strokes gained tee to green and 4th in strokes gained approach. He ranked 1st last week in approach play at the Shriners. Spaun's a very good coastal player. This was backed up by a 6th at the RBC Heritage in April. He has 2 appearances in the Mayakoba, 28th in 2016, followed by a 14th last year. Shows that he likes the course and is improving each year. I think he improves again this year and goes close to lifting the trophy this week at 66-1.
Oh, lovely. And who's the other one?
The outsider is Bryce Garnett. Had a good season last year on the PGA Tour. Got all the way to the second last leg of the FedEx Cup before coming short of a Tour Championship spot. Has 1 PGA Tour win last year, and that came in a coastal course. He won in the Dominican Republic in March by 4 shots. He's 4 appearances at the Mayakoba, form figures of missed cut, 6th, 7th, 25th. He has a real liking for the course. Price is out there as big as 175-1. Worth a small each way play, in my opinion.
Okay, Steve, who else are you putting up?
Next best is Emiliano Grillo, another perfectly suited to the layout, such a steady tee to green operator, finds fairways for fun, loves El Camaleon. He He's finished 10th and 9th in his two previous visits. Seems to play well in the autumn. Won his Web.com Tour title in the autumn of 2015, then his maiden US Tour title a couple of weeks later. Finished 2nd in the Sim Classic last month, then 14th in a high-class HSBC. Massively motivated, world ranking of 50, desperate to finish the year inside the top 50. So, yeah, I see Anser and Grillo dueling on Sunday.
Okay, and who else are we going for?
And then, again, it's four against the field. Siwoo Kim topped the putting stats in the Shriners Open last week. That's an incredible stat. I mean, if he topped the putting stats when we backed him at fancy prices for the Heritage in April, he would have won by about 10 shots instead of losing in a playoff. I'm still very bitter about that one. But when Kim's putting well, he is a serious danger man because his ball striking is typically rock solid. Been plenty of like about the way he started the new US Tour season. He's playing well. And last year he finished 3rd in the Mayakoba, despite arriving in terrible form. So I see no reason why Siwoo Kim can't play really well this week. And the final one is a much bigger price. It's Richie Rawenski. I think Jonathan Ross might struggle with that one. He's a promising maiden, very accurate off the tee, well-suited to El Camaleon, made the cut in his two previous visits there despite arriving in poor form. Finished second in a web.com... Gosh, stop taking the mick out of Jonathan Ross. I'm struggling this bit. He finished second in a web.com tour event in Mexico in 2016. So he's got some form in the country. And he finished 23rd last week in the Shriners, which was a tidy warm-up. So I thought 200-1, you know, much bigger prices on the exchanges. I thought he was worth a little dart.
Okay, what is web.com, by the way? Have you ever researched that, Steve?
That's a good question. Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it's some sort of technology outfit, isn't it?
I don't know.
It used to be Nationwide, didn't it?
Yeah. Let's do something really cruel. If you were having a fifth selection, Steve, who would it be?
Oh, well, it would be Billy Horschel.
Okay.
Billy Horschel was the last name off the list, and so, yeah, he's probably a certainty now.
Who was the last name off your list, Ian?
It was actually Abraham Anser. I just thought he
was it?
Went pricing it. He's a little bit too short for me to get involved in this. Now, Steve's making a compelling case for him, so I might have a sneaky bet on him now before the off on Thursday.
Well, that's all right. He's coming
off. Our old friend Bejerigard was hard to get off the Nedbank list, wasn't it? So, yeah, the Bejerigard Horschel double will probably...
Oh, really? Was he the extra one there, was he? Okay, right, let's do the roundup. The Nedbank Challenge, Steve goes for Martin Kaymer, Louis Oosthuizen, Danny Willett and Lee Westwood, and Ian goes for Juice Loughton, Danny Willett, and that's it. He's only got two. Mayakoba Classic, Steve, Abraham Anser as the main one, and then Grillo, Siwoo Kim, and Richie Wierenski. Ian's three for the Mayakoba are Joachim Niemann, JJ Sporn, and Bryce Garnett. If you could only have one bet this week, Ian, what would it be?
Joachim Niemann to win the Mayakoba.
Okay, and Steve?
It would be the Martin Kaymer Abraham Anser each way double.
And how much does that double win you this week, Steve?
That's £1 million.
You backed it to win £1 million?
Backed it to win £1 million. I mean, last week, I know 7th place for Thorben Olesen and 15th place for Aaron Wise. That would have been £1 million if they both finished first. I don't think that's a million miles away.
No,
it would be £34,000 if they finish in the top five, both finish in the top five. But, Aaron Wise got off to a very slow start and then, played as we all expected him to play. Thorben Olesen got off to a great start and then wobbled over the weekend a little bit. But, that was very close to £1 million. It's got to be better than playing the lottery, isn't it?
Well, yeah, except that your lottery tickets cost a little more than £2, don't they?
I hadn't thought about that, yeah.
Right, next week, we've got the RSM Classic. I don't know what that is. And the DP World Tour Championship Preview. I know what that is because that takes place at the Earth Course in Dubai. It's the big finale to the European Tour. Are you both present and correct next week?
Yes, very
Absolutely.
Much so, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Ian, before we reconvene next Wednesday, what do you hope happens in your life?
Happens in my life? We have a floor Astro tournament tomorrow night, so hopefully we can win that. I'll be playing up front, so hopefully top score, win the tournament, and then have a couple of pints after. So.
Oh, lovely.
Or that, I'll be working. Yeah,
you don't want too much out of life, do you? Winning the,
Astro
Turf tournament? That's brilliant. Steve, I suspect yours is slightly more elusive, what you want.
Well, I just hope my family stays healthy until the following Wednesday. That should be achievable. I've actually got something interesting I'm doing between now and the next one for a change. I'm going to watch Phil the Power Taylor tonight in an exhibition at Weymouth Pavilion. So,
no way. Oh, that'll
he, he's come down to put on a show, so I'm open to...
Who's he up against? Is there a sort of supporting cast like Peter Wandart Manley and people like that?
Yeah, the supporting cast is very poor in actual fairness. I mean, Bobby George is there. He'll put on a show, wouldn't he?
But, yeah, that would be
great. Yeah, it'd be
so
interesting
flamboyant,
to see how...
isn't he?
He is. It'd be interesting to see how Taylor goes in exhibitions, because obviously he's been like a winning machine in match years and quite surly. I don't know what his exhibitions would be like. I've never been to a Taylor exhibition, so yeah, I'll report back on my findings.
What's the format? Yes. How does it all work? You sit down, you plot up, have a few pints, and then what?
You can pay extra for a meet and greet, but I didn't bother with that this time. You know, as a huge Michael Van Gerwen fan, I didn't think the meet and greet would go very well. So I'm just going to sit in the corner and obviously drink copious amounts of strong lager and watch Taylor do his thing. I've no idea what he did. I went to Van Gerwen one a little while ago, and he plays matches against members of the, you know, people who have paid a little bit extra. He plays matches against him. I think they have an auction for certain things.
A stripper, maybe?
Well, who knows? Who knows? Obviously, I'll avert my gaze if there was. I know my lady wife listens to these podcasts.
No, I meant someone to just take the paper off the walls, you know, do a bit of decorating. And, of course, Steve, that is one of my all-time favourite Steve Palmer memories of your exhibition with Van Gerwen, where you went for the selfie afterwards, didn't you? It's a lovely picture, you and Van Gerwen with your arm around each other. But then with the arm that you haven't got around him, you've sort of put on his chest, haven't you?
Yeah. I don't know how it ended up there, but it did end up sort of caressing his right breast. But he didn't seem to mind. I think the affection just overwhelmed me and I just turned it into a spot of lovemaking.
It was absolutely brilliant.
Okay, I tried to win that auction. If you remember rightly, I got up to like 500 quid in the auction to play him, and then was beaten by this other lady who kept going and going and going. I didn't have enough money on me to win that auction. I wanted to play him, but I don't think I'll play against Taylor, because I think he'd really want to beat me up, because he doesn't like Van Gerwen, and he probably doesn't like Van Gerwen fans, does he?
Well, are you going to wear your lime green shirt?
No chance.
Can't do that, can
no,
you?
No. I think I've still got a Taylor shirt somewhere. I'll perhaps put that on.
Yeah, you should. All right, well, enjoy that. Ian, good luck in the AstroTurf. Good luck, more importantly, with all your tips. Back next week. Thank you very much indeed for tuning in.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Give them the whole...